Blog Talk Radio.
If I was just another dusty record on the shelf, would you blow me off and play me like everybody else? If I asked you to scratch my back, could you manage that? Like if we had chicken trappy, I can handle that. Furthermore, I apologize for any skipping tracks. It's just the last girl that played me left a couple cracks. I used to, now I'm over that. Cause holding grudges over love is ancient artifacts. If I could only find a note to make you understand, I'd sing it softly in your ear and grab you by the hand. Keep me stuck inside your head like your favorite tune. And know my heart's a stereo, the only place for you.
My heart's a stereo. It beats for you, so listen close. Hear my thoughts in every note. Oh,
yeah, yeah, come on.
Make me your radio. And turn me up when you feel low. The melody was meant for you. Sing along to my stereo.
If I was an old school 50-pound boombox, would you hold me on your shoulder wherever you walk? Would you turn my volume up in front of the cop and crank it higher every time they told you to stop? And all I ask is that you don't get mad at me when you have to purchase Mad D batteries. Appreciate every mixtape your friends make. You never know, we come and go like on the interstate. I think I finally found a note to make you understand. If you can hit it, sing along and take me by the hand. Keep me stuck inside your head like your favorite tune. You know my heart's a stereo, the only place for you.
My heart's a stereo, it beats for you, so listen close. Hear my thoughts in every note. Oh, oh. Make me your radio, and turn me up when you feel low. The melody was meant for you. Sing along to my stereo.
I got my peaches out in Georgia, oh yeah shit. I get my weed from California, that's that shit. I took my chick up to the north, yeah, badass bitch. I get my light right from the source, yeah, yeah that's it. And I see you, oh, the way I breathe you in, hey. It's the texture of your skin. I wanna wrap my arms around you, baby, never let you go, oh.
Could wish for nights alone that we miss more, the days we stay
in my Yorker.
Hello.
Hey, hello. Is Elijah Miles?
Elijah, how are you, man?
I'm okay.
I appreciate you, man, for taking time out, man, to come to the show, man. We appreciate you, brother.
Hey, thank you.
So, man, I one of my staff came across, man, you and your work that you've been doing down in Baltimore, man, and I want to commend you, man, on your hard work that you're doing, man, and the hard work that you continue to do down in Baltimore, man. But before we talk about your work, man, just tell us a little bit about who or what gave you this mindset or this mission to do what you're doing today, man?
Well, like I said, my name is Elijah Miles, born and raised in Baltimore City, East Baltimore, specifically in a neighborhood called McElderly Park or Down the Hill. It's a rough neighborhood, and I've seen most of the things that anybody would see growing up in any hood. But what changed me was about the time that I was in middle school, I had a teacher named Mr. Scott. And Mr. Scott was like this dreadlock-wearing, Rastafarian, Bob Marley-looking character that I thought was a Jamaican, because in the hood, especially in Baltimore, it was not really multicultural. It's a real black city. So I thought he was a Jamaican. And one time he had this red, black, and green flag on his desk, and I asked Mr. Scott one day, yo, who flag is that? And never forget, he turned from his computer, looked at me and was like, Elijah, it's your flag. And he began to break down to me what the flag was. It's the red, black, and green flag that Marcus Mosiah Garvey gave to black people because he felt like black people in the diaspora needed a flag. And so it's the red, black, and green flag. And he broke it down to me and told me that the red is for the blood that our people have shed during slavery, during segregation, during all these fights across the world to get us here today. But it's also symbolic of the sacrifice we had to continue to make. He said the black is for the color of our skin, and the green is for Africa, where we come from. But it's not just for Africa. It's for the lands, the communities, the neighborhoods that we have to build today and make prosperous today and thrive today. And as a young 12-year-old, 13-year-old boy, it blew my mind. And it blew my mind because I had looked at myself as just a person that's from this block, from this neighborhood, from this hood. And he was expanding my identity, my definition of myself to a black person that's connected to black people all across the world. And, you know, through knowing Mr. Scott, he began to teach me about Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. And when I would complain about the things that happened in my neighborhood, he would always turn it back on me and say, Elijah, you could do something about all of that. And not only can you do something about all of that, you should do something about all of that. It's your duty to. And from that moment on, my whole purpose for getting up in the morning, going to sleep, staying in school, working hard, was so that I could push my community forward. And Mr. Scott planted that seed in me when I was in seventh grade.
Absolutely, man. You tell us a little about the organization that you're a part of.
Part of an organization, grassroots organization, called Tendaya Family. Tendaya is Kiswahili slang for hustle, and hustle is the acronym for our founding principles: honor, unity, sacrifice, trust, love, and excellence. Our mission is to advance Baltimore's black community by operating transformative programs focused mostly on identity, self-improvement, community service, and development. And so what we do is we run a series of programs that's to benefit Baltimore City's black community. We run a youth internship program that hires 20 youth and pay them $50 once a week to for them to participate in community service projects that uplift their community, because we want to encourage them to build up their neighborhood, to know that their neighborhoods can change, that they don't just have to have a leave the hood mentality, that you can change the hood. We can make the hood Wakanda if we want to. So we run that program, community cleanup, youth internship program, but also We run men's programs, classes for healthy black manhood, women's programs for healthy black womanhood, and we run a series of other programs that's about mobilizing the people, but also not just getting them together, but organizing them around solutions for the problems that's in Baltimore City. So we focus on business creation and organizing youth to take community action. But, yeah, we as grassroots get just working in the streets every day.
Absolutely. I want to discuss with you the violence, the shooting, not just, I understand you focus on Baltimore, but around the world where we have the, you know, the multiple killings, not just our black brothers, our sisters as well, man. I personally myself have marched with some of the best, and even back when we were doing the George Floyd marching all over, What are your thoughts on that, man? I mean, how is my thing is I've done panels about this, and what are your thoughts on how you think that where you think it's going to change, or how you think? I mean, because we can hold everybody accountable from elected officials, where if we start from local to federal level. What do you think, man? How many more marches, man? How many more killings that you think we're going to have to experience before things change?
The killings won't stop because we march. The killings will stop because we organize ourselves after the march. So today, a family, we were created after the Freddie Gray uprisings and all of the protests that and marches and even riots that happened around Freddie Gray in Baltimore. But we weren't created because we were inspired by the marches. We were created because many of us that joined the organization and created the organization were disappointed with the results of the marches. So and this happened in many places, whether it's George Floyd or Trayvon Martin, is that Baltimore is a small city. It's not like New York or L.A. that the world's cameras was on Baltimore City when that Freddie Gray uprising happened, and we thought things was going to shift, man. We thought things was going to change, and I bet many people like at Ferguson thought the same thing, that things is about to shift, is about to change, things about to completely never be the same again. But what we've seen was after the civil rights legends that came down here and all the MSNBC and CNN came down here and after all of that was done and over with, cameras are gone, people are gone, that the Sandtown, Winchester, Pennsylvania, North Avenue, the place where the epicenter where everything went down is still relatively the same. And so we felt that, you know, what's going to take is going to take organization. So my answer to your question is we got to organize ourselves, not for a moment, not for a protest, not for a march. We have to organize ourselves to work on these issues day in and day out. And we can use the march as a tool to organize, to get people to join the movement, but people have to put in work day in and day out. And so Martin Luther King, he was a part of an organization, SCLC. Malcolm X were a part of an organization. And then he left the organization and created two more organizations. So this has to be a lifetime commitment for some of us, and we can put a stop to it. But particularly to the police brutality issue, this police brutality can be stopped. But part of what the Black Panther Party did, and part of what Tendaya's solution is for stuff like that, is we have to organize ourselves. Men specifically have to organize themselves to protect their own community, and not just from the police, but for molestation, from rape, from murder, for assault. We have to organize the brothers in the community to protect the community, because one of the major issues in the Black community is that it's not just police brutality, but it's that first of all, that our communities are over-policed. And you have to create a solution, a crime prevention solution, that you can go to city council, you can go to your government and say, we don't need as many police officers as you have in our community, because we, the men in this neighborhood, have showed you that crime has went down this much since we've been in these neighborhoods. Now, we can't do that everywhere, but the places that we can do it in, highly populated black areas, the men of that community have to organize themselves to protect the community from the violence, from anything that's happening. And also, we also have to be there as a protective force against police brutality. We can't just continue to react an ambulance chase when police brutality happens. We have to be there as a preventive measure where it's like, we're not going to allow police brutality to happen because we're willing to risk our lives and lose our lives for the sake of protecting our community. But we have to, as men, get to that point and organize with other men that are already at that point and be willing to protect our community against anybody, black, white, or blue. So that's what I would offer.
Absolutely. What I would like to see is us in the black and brown community come together more to avoid all of these police presence. So we can always say, I remember when I was out there with CNN, and it was like, you know what, defund the police, you know. And then another thing is when we're doing these marches, we tend to, something happens, we tend to tear up our neighborhoods. And I find that very ironic. At the end of the day, you tear up your neighborhoods. But then at the minute, you have to live there. So I always say peaceful protesting, you know, sometimes it, you know, but we have to learn how to not always. And there's a lot of things that go that don't receive media attention. There's a lot of killings that don't receive media attention, and so those are the things that, you know, we have to kind of step up. We have to be able to police our community, but at the same time, we can't. If we want to de-escalate the police and we want to have less police in our area, we have to come together. Such we have to organize, such as your organization, so we don't have to have as many police in our area. But we can't do that if we, okay, less police, but then we're shooting. We're pointing the gun at and we're shooting. But, you know, you're not going to get rid of the police in your area if they'll continue to go on those acts. So.
Definitely.
No. So, I mean, I commend on yourself, man, working hard, man, on your organization, trying to get these things addressed and to help the community, man. So I appreciate things that you're doing out in your community, man. And I appreciate you being young black men together, man, and having to do all these, you know, things that your organization's got going on, man. I'm gonna jump into a track, and I'll be right back, okay?
Yep.
What you really like, baby, I can take my time. We don't ever have to fight, just take it step by step. I can see it in your eyes, cause they never tell me lies. I can feel that body shake and the heat between your legs. You've been scared of love and what it did to you. You don't have to run, I know what you do. Just a simple touch and it can set you free. We don't have to rush when you're alone with me. Tryna get you high, baby, I'll stay in touch. We don't need a lonely night, baby, I can make it right. You just gotta let me try, give you what you want. You've been
Question for you, man. Tell me, you know, we have all these, when all these major killings happen, man, and they offer these big settlements, I guess, to cover up or to kind of give closure to these individuals that were killed and that were taken from us early, man. What are your thoughts on that, man?
You about the settlements after, like, police brutality?
Yes, absolutely.
I believe that when we lose a life by the state, that the state should pay up. But the thing that I'm concerned about is that when you now look at the reparations agendas that are happening across the country, specifically in California, what I think they're giving us, that our ancestors went through the slavery period, they're giving them $230,000, which is an insult, where black people that suffer from police brutality today and are killed, some of those families receive millions. Now, this is about justice. So one is a question of justice, is that when we lose a life by the state, or when our all mass people go through something as crazy as slavery, we deserve justice. But it's also the question of, now is the question of, what do we do with the stuff that we get for those things? And I do think black people specifically in Baltimore City and also in everywhere, because even the family of Freddie Gray received a settlement for the death of Freddie Gray. I do think we need to use the money that we receive in the aftermath of these situations a whole lot better. I think we have to use it to build up our community and build businesses and hire our own people and create schools and teach our own children. And we not having begun to do that work, or not doing that work with these settlements or lotteries or whatever, because we focused on materialism. We focused on Louis Fendi Prada. We focused on getting a BMW and or a Lambo. We're focused on having the trinkets of power, but not actually having actual power in our own community. And so there is an issue of how do we utilize the money that we get, not just from police brutality, but the money we get from our jobs, the money we get in general. How do we utilize that money to be able to build ourselves up as a people? And we don't, sometimes we squander, you know, the things that we receive for actual injustices. There's a lot of, I don't know if you know this, in Baltimore City and other cities, probably Detroit also, there's big lead cases. So there's a lot of lead paint poisoning. And lead paint does a whole lot to your mind and things.
It is.
Yep. And it's a whole lot of people that receive lead check money. Like big, like, you know, $50,000, $100,000, like little pieces of money. And for the most part, the family and the people that receive those funds squander. And it is as if it never happened. I know people in my own life that have won the lottery that are broke now. And not like the mega millions, like, you know, 100 and something million, but like $1 million. And are broke now in the hood. You know what I'm saying? So it is a question of justice. Like, do we deserve it? Yes. For anything that happens with us, we deserve it. But now it's like, what do you do when we receive it? And we need to do a better job of educating ourselves and our people to use it for things that will last. You get a $500,000, you could, if you arrange your life in a certain way, you could set your family up for success for generations to come. But you can receive checks like that and blow it and not even know that it could have been your ticket. It was your real ticket to never, your family for generations, never facing real extreme poverty again.
Absolutely. So you said that you have lead in the water in Baltimore area?
It's a lot of lead paint poisoning. You have a lot of lead paint poisoning in Baltimore. So when you get tested for lead paint poisoning, the state, you go to court and they give you a big little pot of money based on you, the degree to which lead paint poisoning has it, like, you know, in your body. Because it really messes up your life chances and gives you all types of mental disabilities and things.
Yeah. I didn't even know they still make lead paint. But I know it's still out there.
It's a lot of old houses in Baltimore.
Oh, the old ones, right. The old ones, wow, that is crazy, man. That's something we have to change, man. What do you? I know in down in Detroit, they had the water situation, the lead in the water. I know here at the station, we sent, I believe, so many cases of water down there for them in other areas. And to this day, if I'm not mistaken, they still have lead in their water system.
Yeah. Baltimore is similar ways where you cannot drink from a water fountain in schools. You can't drink from a water fountain anywhere. You can't drink from the water that's in your own houses. No one does it because we all know the water is really, really contaminated.
And that's an issue that we all have, that we have to hold the elected officials for, because at the end of the day, it's money that they have that they're not issuing. I mean, because it's drinking water that not only us as kids, but the children, elderly have to drink. I mean, we have to use water to bathe and, you know, et cetera, you know, so we have to hold them accountable for this and, you know, make a change. You know, it can't be just, it has to be all of us as a community to come and go to them and say this needs to be done.
Yep, that's the truth.
Again, because, you know, it's, I sent, again, we sent resources to, you know, other areas that were, you know, and first of all, we're going to hear change, we're going to get change, but again, it has to be all out of community, and we have to keep moving it forward to make some change. Another issue that I, that was that issue is that when they have now, what are voting rights? We have, there are some areas where we where they have voter suppression, which I totally disagree 100%. Because they say, oh, if I get, if let's just say if it's hot outside, and, oh, this campaign gives you a bottle of water, that's going to persuade me to vote for them, which is not true.
Okay.
I mean, you can't tell in the, I mean, there's people out there that, so the governor Kemp, down in Georgia stated, oh, if you're standing in line to vote, what do you need water, what do you need food for? You know, you shouldn't be in line that long. But if the line is wrapped around the corner all the way down the street, you can't tell a person with health issues that they don't need water, they don't need food, and hot, and the heat. Or so, I mean, you know, it's a lot of things that, you know, affects us as a community, and we need to do more. And we can't just expect one person to do all of it. We have to do it as a community and as a team. That's the only way we're going to see change.
That's right.
It's one of the reasons why, man, I reached out. We reached out to you, man, to have you on the show, man, because I love individuals that do amazing work such as yourself, man. But I thank you so much, man, Elijah, man. Keep doing amazing work, man. And if you can, man, keep in touch with the show and myself, man. We'd love to have you on for such future panels that we do, man, with CNN and, you know, and Mr. Sharpton, who also we do connections with, man. We would love to have you a part of that, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Definitely, like link me in. Yep. Thank you
absolutely,
for having
man.
Me. It's been a wonderful conversation.
No problem, man. Listen, man, I'm not going to go that quick, man. I want you to make about your websites, man, and social media so you can find out about this wonderful organization that you got going on, man.
So if you would like to reach Tendaya Family, you can follow us, first of all, on Instagram, at Tendaya Family, T-E-N-D-E-A, family, all one word. Or you could follow our website, www.tendeafamily.com. Again, www.tendeafamily.com. Or you can email us if you have any questions, want to support, want to figure out how you can get more involved and know more about the work we're doing in Baltimore City. You can email us at tendeafamily@gmail.com. So tendeafamily@gmail.com.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much, man. Elijah, man, we appreciate you, man. Happy holidays, man. To you, man. Hope you have a great new
Thank
year,
you,
man.
Sir.
And
you
we'll
too.
Look forward to, yeah, man, in the new year. All right, man?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem, man. Take care. Special thanks to Elijah Miles from the 10-9 Family Organization. Make sure you guys check that out. Look in for more information. Go to his website, social medias, to find out more information about the organization down in Baltimore, which he's doing an amazing job. Thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in today. Man, I hope you guys had an amazing Christmas holiday. We're trying to look forward to our new year coming pretty soon. I'm going to jump to a few more singles, and I'll be right back.
What would I do with it? What would I do with it? Come on. What would I do with it? I'm still alive, but I'm barely breathing. That I don't believe in. Cause I got time while she got freedom. Cause when a heart breaks, no, it don't break even. The best days will be some of my worst. She finally made a man.
breaks, no, it don't break even.
Track. I appreciate you guys so much for coming on today. So much to talk about, so much topics today we're going to be discussing. Again, our guest, Elijah Miles from the Tendai organization down in Baltimore. He's doing such amazing work. If you missed the episode, please go back and archive the show or timothyhodgeshow.com or timothyhodgeshow@gmail.com for more information on today's episode. We're going to jump into a track by Miss Anita Baker, and we'll be right back on Timothy Hodge Show, Aaron, on your iHeartRadio network.
Loving you, no limitation.
Shout out to Anita Baker for that track and tell. I love Just Because. Make sure you guys check her out on upcoming tour. I believe it starts in February. Make sure you guys go to Ticketmaster and purchase tickets and go to a concert in your area. It should be an amazing concert series. She's doing, I believe, all the way to December of 2023. She's going to be across the country. Make sure you guys will see her in concert in the area. And you also, Janet Jackson is also going on tour. The Together Again tour. Make sure you guys, she's going to be in Madison Square Garden here in the New York area. Also, two concerts in her area as well. So make sure you check that out for Miss Janet Jackson Together Again. I'm going to jump into one more song and I'm going to wrap the show up.
Oh Lord, Jesse made another one. Huh? Packing the mail, it's gone. She like I smell cologne.
Yeah.
I just signed a deal, I'm on.
Yeah, yeah.
I go where I want, good.
Good.
Play if you want, it's do it.
Huh.
I'm a young CEO, sure.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. The first nigga play, I'ma body a nigga.
I
just check my balance, I probably pull up to your hood and come buy me a nigga.
No cap.
You know that your hoe told you that nigga crazy. Don't think that she lied to you, nigga.
Bitch.
Get caught with your hoe and I'm popping them both. Now they hot just like Bobby and Whitney. Say I'm the GOAT, act like I don't know, but fuck it, I'm obviously winning. Don't make me go hit the bank, take out 100 to show you our pockets is different. I'm out with your bitch and I only want knowledge, she got a little mileage, I'm chillin'. You disrespect me and I beat your ass up all in front of your partners and children. I'm the type to let niggas think that I'm broke until I pop out with a million.
Pop.
And take 20K and put that on your head and make one of your partners come kill you.
Yeah.
Stay fucking with me, then he gotta grow up, cause this nigga gotta be
kid.
This shit can't fit in my pocket, I got it, like I hit the lottery, nigga. I slap the shit out of nigga, no talking, I don't like to argue with nigga.
I don't.
Ain't gonna be no more laughing, you see me whip out, cause I'm gonna be the shot me a nigga.
No cap.
I don't follow no bitches on IG, but all of your bitches, they following nigga. And that little nigga ain't gonna shoot shit with that gun, he just pull it out in his picture.
Bitch.
Huh. Huh? Packing the mail, it's gone. She like I smell cologne.
Yeah.
I just signed a deal, I'm on.
Yeah, yeah.
I go where I want, good.
Good.
Play if you want, let's do it.
Huh.
I'm a young CEO, sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh? Packing the mail, it's gone. She like I smell cologne.
Yeah.
I just signed a deal, I'm on.
Yeah, yeah.
I go where I want, good.
Good.
Play if you want, let's do it.
Huh.
I'm a young CEO, sure.
Yeah.
Shout out to the baby in that track. Thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in today. On the Timothy Hot Show, Aaron, on your Blog Talk Radio Network. I want to jump into one more track, got to show up. But nevertheless, shout out to all you guys for all your support for all these years that we've been on the air. Our guest, Elijah Miles, head of the 10-9 Family Organization. Make sure you guys support him, check him out, and continue to support organizations around the world and movements like this that he's doing. Love you. Stay up. Stay strong for more information on today's show. TimothyHotShow@gmail.com for more information. I'm going to leave with Desiree. You got to be. Love you. Stay up. Stay strong for next time. Peace.
Unfold, challenge what the future holds. Try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. Stand up and be counting. Don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad. You gotta be bold. You gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard. You gotta be tough. You gotta be stronger.